Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
1 hour from now, Will Hill joins us to talk baseball as well as a little hoops. And the rest of this hour will be spent on NBA play-in, tonight's games, Heat Sixers, Hawks Bulls, and the rest of the Eastern Conference matchups that are already set, Bucks, Pacers, Cavs, Magic, but the NFL draft now just 8 days away, a week from tomorrow night in Detroit. And with the first overall pick, we all feel pretty confident in saying it will be Caleb Williams going to the Chicago Bears. But what happens at number two and beyond? Well, why not get somebody who covers the Washington Commanders absolutely every single day and also has pretty damn good history of mock drafts as well? Ben Standig, who covers the Commanders for The Athletic, host of the Standig Room Only pod. You can also hear him on Odyssey stations, Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan in D.C. inside your Odyssey app, joins us now. Good morning, Ben. How closely are you watching what today, I guess, is supposed to be like this powwow of possible first-round quarterbacks getting together with the organization in Washington? Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, and Michael Penix Jr. all in with the Commanders today.
Yeah, this has been a lengthy conversation, as we know, for the team and certainly for all of us who talk about the draft and talk about this team. And this is such a fascinating way to bring the sort of the evaluation process to a close, having them all show up together. Very, very interesting dynamic. It's something that Adam Peters did when he was with San Francisco in terms of prospects. But when you have four quarterbacks, it is very curious for sure. I don't know how much we're going to get out of whatever happens today. They've been pretty tight-lipped throughout this process, just like they were with the coaching search, about what it is that they are doing. But at the same time, to what extent does any of this really matter for the team? I have to imagine this is just a confirmation for whatever it is that they want to do, as opposed to, it's still up in the air. But hey, they're doing this. They're turning over every stone before they make their pick. So kudos for that. But another piece of mystery here for us to solve.
Yeah, so good to hear from you, Ben. I miss you. We got to grab lunch when you're in Ashburn next. I want to ask you, because obviously there's the new ownership, new head coach. You got Cliff there, new GM. Like, is it hard to sift through the information? Are you thinking it's going to be Jaden Daniels at two, or is it going to be like the coaching search with Ben Johnson and now it's Dan Quinn? Like, where are you at with this number two pick?
Yeah, well, at least all the quarterbacks showed up for the meeting, as opposed to Ben Johnson when the Commanders were flying to see him and he bailed, and that may have turned how that whole situation went down. I've been doing my various mock drafts for the Commanders or with the Athletic or whatever for since early March, and in each one I've gone with Jaden Daniels. It's not based on things I'm hearing from the team, because as I said, there's really not much to hear, and the national insiders are saying the same. But it's just trying to figure, take whatever data we have and figure it out. And I think with Daniels, needless to say, he had an incredible 2023 season. as a dual threat, wins the Heisman. He's a little bit older and more experienced than these other guys. And for a team based on Washington circumstance, I think that, I think a rookie could come in and play if it's the right rookie, and he may be that guy. But because there's not much information for coming from the team, I've done my best to talk to as many people around the league as I can. I wrote a story last week where I had asked 17 different sources to give me your top four quarterbacks and give me some thoughts. And the resulting of that voting, because I assigned points to their votes, Daniels was, while behind Caleb Williams, was almost seemingly closer to Caleb Williams in the eyes of everybody in totality than to Drake May. Again, there are people who really like Drake May, of course, but the negatives with him or the concerns with him really were kind of really sort of like pushed down his rank rating, as it were. And I just think there's more variance with how people see him, where Daniels is pretty more people are pretty confident in what he will be. So that's kind of where I went with Daniels and why I think it. But it all only matters what Adam Peters thinks. And, between May and McCarthy, it's certainly possible one of those guys is the answer.
Ben, it's funny that you put it there that way with the top four quarterbacks, because the shift that we're seeing in some mock drafts, whether you're talking about Dane Brugler today, Peter Schrager yesterday, the momentum seems to be top four quarterbacks in some order in those top four picks with Caleb, Daniels, May, and now we're seeing a lot of people willing to put McCarthy at number four overall. Do you think we could see the four quarterbacks going in the top four picks?
I think it's definitely possible. I think the variable, and I had that in my first round mock that I did a few weeks ago for The Athletic. I think, obviously there would have to be a trade. Arizona at four is not going to take a quarterback. I think the question is, in terms of it being the first four picks, does Arizona, and whatever they would do to trade out, are they willing to give up Marvin Harrison or one of those other receivers? Is there a way for them to trade and maybe only move down a few spots and thus still keep that guy? And then the other one is, who wants to move up? How much is somebody willing to spend? Minnesota's got the two first-round picks. They have assets beyond this year. That would be the sort of the obvious team that could do it. And, if they do, then moving up to four would be a logical place. So I definitely think it's real possible. I just, what's the cost? Is Minnesota willing to do it? Do they think to themselves, we'll just take Knicks or Penix at 23 and call it a day? This is the intrigue. But, I think it's definitely possible that it happens. I think Minnesota, their desire to move up, I think is probably the big question.
J.J. McCarthy plus 250 at BetMGM to go fourth overall, if that were the case. Ben Standig, senior writer for The Athletic, covers the Washington Commanders with us here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM at Ben Standig on X, where he's doing lots of work on not just the Commanders, but the draft as a whole. Let me ask you this. Between the Commanders at two, Ben, and Joe just mentioned the Vikings possibly trading up. That's Dane Brugler's latest mock for The Athletic. To take J.J. McCarthy at four. What do you know of what the Patriots may want to do at three? It makes a lot of sense to just jump on Drake May if he's the next quarterback available after Williams and Daniels and he's available. But we've talked a lot here about, are the Patriots necessarily sold on taking a quarterback, or is it an opportunity for a sort of refreshed organization to trade back, accumulate picks, and do some other things, including maybe go quarterback in the second round? What do you know about what the Patriots may want to do?
Yeah, Washington and New England are very similar circumstances, refreshing the organization with, from, the GM coach on down. Both teams have sort of that stopgap quarterback. The Patriots have Jacoby Brissett, so they can possibly get away with that if they don't want to invest in the quarterback and prefer a trade down. But boy, it is really hard. If you like the quarterback, I just think it's going to be super hard to pass. And from everything I hear, the assumption is generally Drake May going three, and it makes sense. Again, there's some concerns with his mechanics and decision making last year, but he doesn't with Jacoby Brissett, he wouldn't have to play next year. And look, New England's obviously a proud franchise with the history they've had. I don't think they're viewing themselves as a team that's going to be back in the top five anytime soon. So if that's the case and they need a quarterback, going with May would seem to, or, you know, or McCarthy, but May seemingly more likely would be the way to go, unless they're just absolutely blown away with an offer. And again, I just don't know that that's going to be out there.
What about the first non-QB selected or the first wide receiver? Because we've heard different things. It seems like Marvin Harrison will be first, but there's been, you know, rumors about maybe it'll be Malik Nabers before Harrison or Odunze. How do you see that situation playing out with the wide receivers and what order that goes?
Yeah, clearly there's a lot of excitement for all these guys. And, you know, like with anything, it's, you know, what is the individual team's particular flavor, but it just seems like Marvin Harrison is the guy. You know, it's been said as much for, you know, over a year now, and perhaps there's some boredom. And also, you know, again, I think Odunze and Nabers have big fans, but I would be, I think, surprised if Harrison isn't the first receiver off the board, whether that's Arizona at four, the Chargers at five, or somebody else. That's the fun part. But I think Harrison is the first guy to go. The you know, the high floor, high ceiling combination is a pretty good way to go. So, you know, I think he goes high, but I would think all those three receivers are gone at least by nine, and maybe even you know, all in the top six, depending on how things go with the quarterbacks.
Ben, Brock Bowers seems to be the popular thing is, okay, we'll do Jets. For a while it was best offensive lineman on the board, you go to the Jets to protect Aaron Rodgers. Now it seems like there's been a bit of a shift in the thinking there over to Brock Bowers. Where do you think Bowers ends up?
Yeah, I think for this one, to me, it feels like how is general manager Aaron Rodgers really adamant that he wants another pass catcher? Or does the actual management say, hey, we did add two offensive tackles, but they're older guys. We need to make sure that they can stay on the field. Tyron Smith has not been able to do that in recent years. So not only do they need a long-term play at tackle, they may need a short-term play at tackle. So I've been kind of leaning there with Fuaga from Oregon State, the guy I've been looking at. But, you know, to me, it almost feels like a 51-49 scenario. Brett Bowers is, you know, viewed as easily the best tight end. One point that's been made over the last month or so, which is interesting, is that one advantage with any of these rookies is that the contract for any of the positions is going to be substantially less than what you would pay if this person was a free agent. But at tight end, the gap is really not that high, considering the tight ends just don't get paid a ton. And if we're talking about being a top 10 pick, then that's going to be a pretty good deal. So it's not a great value play to take Bowers that high. So that's another reason to go offensive line. But I really do think this is where the Aaron Rodgers influence comes into play. What does he covet more, and what, you know, therefore, what does the team think they need to do?
Ben Standa covers the Washington Commanders and the NFL for The Athletic. He joins us here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Wanted to talk to you about who you think the first defensive player may be taken off the board, Ben, because it's been very chalky. Everybody's talked about Dallas Turner going eighth overall to Atlanta, but there has been in the last week and a half or so a lot of people coming back around to Jared Verse. I see, again, Dane Brugler's latest mock draft that just came out this morning for The Athletic. He slides all the way to 19 and the Rams. Just your view. I also saw, I think, Le Tuilatu of UCLA going all the way down in the 20s, but he's a name that some people have raved about. How much volatility is there, and who goes first on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I agree with you on the chalk, which does make me nervous. Like, are we really just going to go through this whole cycle once Atlanta signed Kirk Cousins to give them Dallas Turner? I mean, that feels like the logical move. I also do wonder, is Atlanta a team where if somebody wants whichever one of those top three receivers is still on the board, there are a lot of people think the Bears take one of them. I kind of think the Bears should go offensive line, but the Bears also only have so does the team say, hey, Atlanta, you want to trade with us? I mean, as you mentioned, there are a few defensive end candidates. Maybe they lose Dallas Turner by dropping down, but if they like Verse and Latu, then, you know, they get extra picks and the player. if they stay put, it's going to be hard for me to not go with Dallas Turner. But I do wonder, you know, if they are a team that possibly looks to trade down, get extra picks, knowing that there's still going to be an edge rusher a few slots away.
What about Joe Alt? It seems like every team could use an offensive lineman. What do you think makes the most sense for him?
Right. Well, I think, you know, Tennessee at seven is the safe spot right now. The wonder is if the Chargers stay put at five. On the one hand, sure, they could use receiver help having, you know, moved on from Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. They don't have a ton right now for Justin Herbert. That makes a ton of sense. I've had people tell me around the league that they don't see that. They see Jim Harbaugh wanting to make a pick here that sort of defines the attitude he's looking for, meaning take an offensive lineman. You know, I think they're another team that the trade down possibility makes a ton of sense if they want an offensive lineman, or frankly, even a receiver. But if they want offensive line, there are a bunch of different players they could get. So if you trade down, you could still get that lineman. I think that makes a ton of sense. But if they stay put at five, you know, I don't know if it's a 50-50 call between Joe Alt and one of the receivers, but I do think it's a pretty strong consideration that they would look to take an offensive lineman somewhere in the first round.
We appreciate the insight with just about a week to go to the first round of the NFL draft. Ben Standig of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, at Ben Standig. Great stuff on both the Commanders and the draft as a whole. We appreciate the time today, Ben. We talk baseball less than an hour from now with Will Hill, and plenty of hoops because we got NBA Eastern Conference play-in action tonight. Heat, Sixers, Hawks, Bulls next right here on BetQL Daily.